We're delighted today to be joined by Adedeji Oronibi, who is here today to talk about some of the developments in the African, specifically Nigerian, CBDC and stablecoin space. So we'll be hearing more about the eNaira, about the African Stablecoin Consortium, and about potential benefits and challenges to adoption of new forms of digital money in Nigeria and the West African context. Deji, it's great to have you here with us today. Thank you so much for joining us, especially while you're traveling. And please give us an introduction to yourself, your background, and what you do.
Thank you, Jana, and thank you for having me. My name is Adedeji, like you mentioned, and most people call me just Deji simply because of the length of the name. So preferably, they just want to cut it into two. So Deji is good. I am a founder and also COO at Convexity. Convexity happens to be the company, is a blockchain company. Of course, we established the first blockchain innovation hub or maybe innovation lab in Nigeria. And where we create a space where people come co-create Web3 solutions and build blockchain-enabled solutions and also the answer to local problems that we believe that the transparency of blockchain and its security can actually bring some decent value to it. And of course, we have a small venture studio where we invest in groundbreaking solutions that we see from the hub. And to give them just a seed fund that we make sure they are able to do their minimal viable product to get into market, and we support a lot of them all the way up till this moment. We're involved with also our policy discussions, regulatory discussions around anything around digital asset. Now we're involved with post-regulation, and to also see how we can guide with our little bit of expertise to see how we can channel that. So we're involved pretty much with Nigerian blockchain policy drafting, and which was launched by the immediate past administration to show the roadmap of what the country wants to harness from the potentials of blockchain itself. Of course, we're also very much involved with SEC regulation. And of course, we're part of the committee that was set up by SEC Nigeria to draft a regulatory framework for digital asset in the country. And that was recently also passed as a guideline to give a basis for virtual asset service providers, registration, custodial, and exchange owners, and the likes. Quite recently, just like I told you earlier, we build solutions to answer to local problem. And so we've been working on Naira-based or Naira-paired stablecoin called the CNGN for about 2 years now. And we're doing that quietly, and we're also working, hand in hand regulators to give us the most needed guides on how that can be rolled out. So we've been working with them, and it's not yet out. I think we're approaching the final lap, working with regulators. And we just pray we get the final note to get that out. But again, it started up as an initiative of Convexity. And so it started as Convexity's NGN, which is the C in the NGN, ICA. But with the interaction and, engagement with regulators, we had an input that should make it a consortium-driven stablecoin as against just driven by one company. And to us, that suggestion made a lot of sense. And so we started reaching out to some few commercial banks to see if they can be part of the initiative. And we're very glad that we got a few commercial banks, a few fintechs, and of course, a few blockchain companies to join that consortium to power the Naira-paired stablecoin. We also brought in the cryptocurrency exchanges and the ecosystem to be part of the consortium. So just to be able to give you the adoption that is needed to power that economy. So that is the summary of where we are. So that initiative gave birth to what we call today African Stablecoin Consortium, which is now a consortium, as again, just a consortium in Nigeria, is a consortium of African stablecoin issuers. And so what we intend to see is that African stablecoin issuers in different African countries are also part of the African Stablecoin Consortium that will be, if you may, just the think tank and also giving policy direction and regulation for how an advisory within the board of the African Stablecoin Consortium on how we think the absolute stablecoin that should work for Africa should look like. Jenna.
That is absolutely fascinating. And I know I wanted to ask you about the CBDC side and the Enero, but since we're already down the path of the CNGN, maybe we can carry on talking about that for a little while. So what's your vision for a Nigerian national stablecoin? What benefits do you think that it can bring to the Nigerian economy, to the financial services and fintech ecosystem, and to the implementation of Nigeria's digital strategy?
So for us that time, what our vision was to also help the government, because again, we are very, very strong believers in the digital economy. And we're very, very proud that our government took the first step, while countries around the world are not sure what step to take. Nigeria took the bold step to say, step in and do a CBDC, where the whole world are thinking about what to do. A lot of central banks, Bank of International Settlement, everyone is cracking his head on what it should be like. We took the first step to actually step into the waters and learn. And so for me, that is a very audacious move. And that is, for me, a very positive move. And of course, a very strong signal to the remaining African countries that this is possible, even to the whole world, of course, which is a very massive launch, you know, that we did in that very aggressive manner. And of course, with all projects, if you're taking the first step, be ready also to take the first you know mistakes that you could fall in those pitfalls, and against whatever happens in Nigeria is shaping the CBDC approach across the world. And so that is why I say taking the first step is a very big bold initiative that the government did that time, and I think it's great that that is happening. Of course, if there are other T's that need to be crossed that was not, and other I's that need to be dotted that are not, and out of that lesson, and I think that is being picked up. So why we did the stablecoin was in response to that issuance of the CBDC. So the idea is great. The idea of CBDC is fantastic, but we saw a little bit of limitation to that CBDC not also entering into the realm of the public blockchain, because again, it's still normal, privately owned, privately controlled, you know, of environment by the Reserve Bank, by the central banks around the world. And therefore,
Is the Enero actually blockchain based?
Absolutely. It's a private permission, Hyperledger blockchain that was used. So for us, it's great. It's a real life use case on the blockchain. And of course, it's powered on the Hyperledger fabric. And so We just saw that interoperability issue again, because I cannot use my eNaira, for example, on Ethereum network. I cannot use it on Bitcoin network. I cannot use it on Binance Smart Chain. And that is where a lot of Web3 activities happen. So we come in, which is, of course, it's not the responsibility of the central banks. It can be the responsibility of businesses like ours to bridge that gap. And that's why we came in to have a wrap version of the eNaira that will be able to be transported to this public chains, if you may, where yes, you're operating on this different chain, but you're using the eNaira also to give it that faster lane, you know, to be able to be present in the public blockchain, where of course you understand Nigeria is one of the very popular country and, you know, one of the top in Africa and third in the world that is actually embracing the adoption of digital currencies, crypto assets. And therefore, we think this will be a great opportunity for the central bank digital currency to be used on those chains, albeit on the RAP version that we're giving it the CNGN. And that was the beginning of the CNGN journey. But what we did was to have both channels built out. So both the RAP version that mimics the CBDC, which is the eNaira, and also building out the fiat side that just mimics the normal paper knife, depending on how we see the adoption go as a business, so we'll go the two folds. And so that is what engendered that development.
That's really interesting. And going back to the eNaira a little bit, can you tell us a little bit more about, you know, some of those early drivers for, because I think the eNaira was the second retail CBDC that went live in the world after the Sand Dollar. And so what were some of the drivers for the Nigerian government to introduce the CBDC at such an early stage? And what was the kind of implementation process that they followed for it?
So like I said earlier, Nigerians are early adopters to digital asset ecosystem. So young Nigerians are passionate about it. They use it for their daily transactions. And it's just simple to say, okay, how do central banks play? And the discussion on the table at that time is central bank digital currency. That is where you can just be able to enter into the realm and also offer the same kind of fast, cheaper transactions and speeds and all those issues at the same spot. And so that is, I think, what motivated for seeing Nigeria on the chart, being number one here, number two here, and all those issues, then it's just responsible of the central bank to do something, you know, to bring this payment system to that level where, you know, 24/7 you can operate it, and of course it's cheaper for you to transact, and also looking at financial inclusion for people that are hard to reach to see how that can actually happen. So I guess that was the motivation that they stepped in earlier. And again, like I told you, that the central bank are innovative. Innovators just want to take and test and see how it happens when innovations are springing out. And as a matter of fact, that was what gave back to Convexity, for example. You know, and if you know, for people that are in finance, of course, Convexity measures the sensitivity of the prices and interest rate and the price of bond. So that sensitivity is what we saw in blockchain, that I want to say, okay, we're sensitive to this technology. I want to just take advantage of whatever it has to offer. And so for us, we see that alignment with our own central bank trying to be sensitive to that technology and also sensitive that the young people are moving to a new technology and they should be there as a proactive and innovative central bank, maybe.
Okay. And The road to adoption for the eNaira has not been a smooth one. Can you talk us through some of the challenges to adoption that have been experienced and maybe why those exist and how you think they can be overcome?
So like you said, of course, with any new technology, most people are learning. So there will be a turbulent start. You know, and the same thing is as it is with everything in life. If you're taking off in the flight, everyone is bothered until it balances and stabilizes in the air over 33 meters over the sea level. Then everybody relaxes, right? So those early years, the whole CBDC project is starting, and of course, they don't see how it is received in the market. And I think there's a fantastic thing that was happening. I think there's a misconception in my view where people are thinking, oh, it's not a success. But meanwhile, they're building a lot of use cases on top of that that are not reported. So for example, it has a deeper retail penetration. And I think people telling the stories are possibly not in Nigeria and possibly not from the central bank. Because again, a lot of things are happening within the retail. So that is the first CBDC that I've checked on how you can put the CBDC on cards, for example, how you can put the CBDC token on wearables, for example, which I have seen it play out. Of course, that's the first CBDC that has also gone on point of sales terminals that you can actually check out and do this. And so beyond the understanding of CBDCs in different wallets, the Nigerian Central Bank have gone deeper with multiple use cases, really, where you can just get that to places where they don't have any banking, or you have it in available, and I mean wearables where they can have in their hands, they can have it as a watch, and they can use that to transact across multiple channels. And so that is also there. People use it to buy their time. So a lot of use cases have been built that are not reported. And so that takes a lot of time, you know, with a lot of people exemplifying what they can do with it, how they can use that. They build another layer that can enable, you know, farm input traceability with this. And I think it's not reported. They build a lot of use cases that can reach the poor and vulnerable people with the humanitarian model of it. And so a lot is happening in the silence. And I think maybe news people just believe negative reportage makes more sense, but there's a lot of positive things that are happening. And I think if there's any lesson that I think I'm not within the central bank, but from my own observation from outside, is that possibly the retail channel that the central bank started with, which of course, central bank now saw itself playing a bigger role of playing like a retail directly to the retail customers. And now, so that lesson has been learned. And I can tell you that the INERA itself is moving to what we call the INERA 2.0, where it's now domiciled within the bank as a wholesale, where they can now do the direct unwrapping to their customers and serve them the way they should. And so I anticipate to see that INERA have landed those lessons and are going to be the most adopted and mostly used CBDC across the globe, in my view.
That's really interesting insight into what's happening with INERA, because you're right, we don't really hear the positive news. It's mostly, oh, it hasn't been adopted. But I think what I'm taking away from what you said is, and it's a point that's been made here as well, the point is maybe a retail CBDC shouldn't be judged in its success by the extent to which it displaces day-to-day payments, but rather in the role that it plays as a platform for innovation and what that means for the future and for things that we can't necessarily do today. And as Sir John Cunliffe at the Bank of England has said in some of his speeches, it's a bit like the iPhone. You know, when the iPhone was introduced, no one could foresee that we would all have neck strain, paraphrasing him heavily, because it would be so ubiquitous in our daily lives and it would be replacing all this different functionality. And in the same way, a CBDC can be viewed as a piece of national infrastructure that is a platform for innovation. And I think, you know, from what you're saying, the INERA seems to be succeeding more as on that basis than as a, you know, a day-to-day payment system, which there are already, you know, many, but this is something new and something that is capable of giving rise to new and interesting things.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, like for example, a lot of fintechs that I'm aware of. So again, there was a hackathon where you can be given access to the APIs to play with it and do what you think you want to see CBDC do in your business. So we see use cases where you use that to pay for flights. You know, you use cases where people use it to do a lot of loyalty, you know, and cards. You see a lot of use cases where people just, you know, use it to do to recharge their phones, to pay for utilities. Many fintech businesses were building across that. And of course, the central bank made that platform open for them to have the requisite APIs, you know, with just a simple application to be part of the partner within the INERA platform. And you're given that access to just innovate on that national platform, like you mentioned. And so for me, those are the areas that I think Nigerian CBDC deserve a deeper study by a lot of CBDC. So I think one thing I noticed, the central bank is very conservative, so they don't push these narratives out. But a lot of things are happening. People are building on top of that infrastructure. A lot of refinement is happening on top of that infrastructure as people use that API and they, of course, give constructive criticism back to the central bank, which it picks up with all humility to see that they're building that platform for businesses, for fintechs, for other people to have it as a national infrastructure to create innovation. And I think that is a complete success. It's happening already. Of course, our company is one of those platforms on top of that, trying to innovate and build across that. And we're doing that with humanitarian solutions that we're building. We're doing that with automatic ticket refunds on the airline that has canceled. So a lot of businesses are building different solutions on that. On top of that, so going to the INERA 2.0, which will be championed by the bank, which, if you may, you can call it the wholesale CBDC that will be driven by the banks. With the 2.0, we now engender a massive adoption that a lot of people want to see. So I think there's a need to research more about the INERA, and I hope they want to speak to people what they're doing, really.
I think, yes, I'd like to find out a lot more about it. So what are the key differences? So is the key difference between the INERA and the INERA 2.0 the fact that the INERA is retail and 2.0 is wholesale? Or made available in for wholesale applications?
Yeah, it's going to be completely wholesale driven by the bank, and the banks and fintechs are going to be taking ownership. So from building solutions to tokenized bank deposits to payment system from the fintechs, a lot of things I'll just say anticipate, watch out for Nigeria.
Okay, so in the future, we're going to have both wholesale and retail versions of an eNaira, and that's on the CBDC side. And then we're also going to hopefully be seeing the introduction of a Nigerian national stablecoin as well from the African Stablecoin Consortium. And how do you see these two interacting with each other? How will they coexist, and kind of what will the different use cases for both of them be?
So, like, just to correct, the retail is going to cease to exist. Of course, the retail regime is ending as we go to 2.0. So it's going to be wholesale driven by the bank.
So in fact, so banks will basically be distributors.
Banks will own it. Banks will be the one doing it. Banks will be the one giving that to their customers. Yes, that is actually the update from the central bank. In my view. I don't have that detail, but I think that's a figure. Was getting. So for us, again, the our design remains the way it is. They will operate the same way we think we've been planning it before. Of course, it's going to have, we're still going to be having the wrap version of it on the blockchain. And why we wait, if it's going to take longer, of course, the Naira back to CNGN will still be running. Of course, that's what we're looking to get the nodes and necessary approvals to do a POC to show the viability and the reasons why we think that's very important in our economy to the central bank and all regulators, and to hopefully we get there not to to make sure that rolls into the market. But that is not stopping also the think tank and the discussions at the African Stablecoin Consortium level. Of course, our firm, we're members. The fintechs are members of the African Stablecoin Consortium, and all the firms that come together to form the Nigerian Stablecoin are all part of the African Stablecoin Consortium. I think 2 days ago, of course, the idea also is here and very well with digital shilling in Kenyan shilling, and so we're also having the consortium driven Kenyan shilling and driven by the blockchain community in Kenya. And of course, when that is concluded, they're also joining the African Stablecoin Consortium. So all African Stablecoin Consortium that is going to be driven within, that will power the national stablecoins within different countries, are going to be members of the African Stablecoin Consortium, where we advise individual government on what the policies and regulations should be, in our view, and also bring in our use cases around the world, and also contribute to other stablecoin, papers around the world. So currently we're contributing to, I think we're going to put our own contribution to the digital pounds. And we discussed it yesterday with the policy lead, and also that of Hong Kong. And what we saw, because we discovered, they're saying they're only going to be recognizing stablecoin from G10. And that for us at the African Stablecoin Consortium, we see a complete exclusion of what the whole African economy is. And so we're making that contribution on our platform and straight to the Hong Kong regulatory body here.
That's great. And I think, yes, there's probably some valid points in there and some interesting perspectives you can bring to the stablecoin regimes that are emerging around the world. I think for, the stablecoin geeks in our audience, can you tell us a little bit more about how the CNGN will be structured? So what sort of backing assets, where will backing assets be held? What's the process for creation and redemption, and the kind of market structure around issuers versus service providers and distributors and things like that?
Yeah, so we envision a single currency-backed stablecoin. Again, we don't want to bring in a lot of complexity into it. And a lot of people ask me, okay, what are you going to do with volatility? And of course, stablecoins are not meant to check volatility, they're just meant to mirror national currencies. And so for our own use case, we are packing it with full Naira. And of course, so for every single CNGN that will be out there in circulation is backed by a Naira sitting within the reserve banks that are part of the consortium members. Of course, the idea is to give that governance and keep it within their bank. And of course, they are highly supervised, highly regulated banks. Of course, very reputable banks. And so this is going to be there And for every, so we will be onboarding registered and licensed merchants and registered and licensed exchanges that will be coming to actually mint from our platform. And so, of course, it's automatic for those that have been vetted by going through the proper KYC. And of course, all the necessary KYC, AML, CFT, also PEP screening, and all the necessary global screening to make sure that they are actually supposed to be served by us. And so we take our regulation, of course, if you understand our background, it's about risk, about regulation, about compliance. Fortunately, we also have members that have contributed to the formulation of travel standard within our own place. And so we're taking regulations seriously. And that is why for the past 2 years, we refuse to come to the public. And we're working with regulators. We want to cross the T's, want to dot the I's with them, we want to answer their questions from different departments, risk management department, payment systems, mention them to make sure that is actually done very properly. So those are the people that can come to our platform, and they are not going to be so many. And so we can put our eyes on them to actually quickly spot any abnormality and if that may arise. So of course, we'll be having a lot of them that will be able to uptake and also serve their retail customers. So if you have any exchange that is licensed, we'll come to Mint. And of course, we have minimal threshold of how much can come to our platform so they can serve the retail customers properly. And they can also build some other use cases with them and have partnership with different fintechs and banks and see how that is solved. We see a lot of use cases that will come out of that. And of course, payment will be that. And of course, the faster and fluid payment and cheaper payment systems within our rails will be that. And again, that would take the Nigerian Naira on the same scale and power where we see the likes of USDT, USDC flying. So if you may, what we're seeing is the Naira is currently at this level, and maybe you have USDC playing at a different rail. Right, so we are not on the same realm until we do the CNGN to go there on that rail of the blockchain to be able to interoperate between themselves. And so therefore, possibly we see a lot of injection of our foreign currencies into the country, for example, which will be now seamless, and a lot of investment that we're seeing for people that want to actually uptake. And we've seen a lot of positive vibes even by the mayor, a few feelers that went into public, albeit it was a leak from our own group, was not officially like that, but it was a leak, and it's okay. It helped us test the market to see exactly that people are absolutely anticipating a stable coin. And so for us, it will also be able to kill, regulate the high reliance on P2P marketplace in Nigeria. And today, as it stands statistically, over the last few months, I think the China Analysis report shows June to July last year, we did over $60 billion. And that we are not comfortable that the regulators within our country cannot tell you exactly where those monies have gone to or what they are, and they are not able to also tax them. And for in our own view, this should not be. So therefore, if we have something like this, that's because first, the central bank have asked the banks not to actually interact with digital asset service providers. We're glad that that was reversed. And so now if they can actually interact and open account for virtual asset service providers, then of course with stablecoin, we're also covenanting to give full visibility to the central bank. And we're doing that very clearly. We are very ahead. And I believe, I don't know if you are aware with, project from the Bank of International Settlement that they want to do a POC with the Bank of England called Project Pixel, where you have a direct visibility for regulators to have direct reporting, to regulators. That POC document, our team have picked it up. We built out that regulatory framework on our own. We did not apply for the POC to apply for BIS to do that. We're doing that on our own for our own regulators to make sure to show that genuineness and openness to make sure that that is what we want to see. And so we build that platform to give the regulatory dashboard directly to the central bank to be able to see how much has been minted, which bank is holding what, who are the uptakers that I told you about, and what are the kind of KYC that have been done on them, and where are these money circulating at this point. And this is real time without even waiting for any attestation report from us. And for us, this is great. This is how I want to show the example of how stablecoin should operate. And you can attest to that no single stablecoin today that exists in the world does that. you know, with that that particular one. Even the Bank of International says you may want to do a POC to test that out. But of course, we start with all the engineers. We say, we are doing that. We're not building it for BIS. It's something they want to see. I want that to be seen here, and we'll continue to improve it as things move on, really, Jenna.
Thanks so much, Deji. I could go on asking you questions easily for another hour at least on, you know, backing assets and I think, you know, some of the really interesting applications potentially of how the eNaira and the CNGN can sit alongside each other. And I think your description has given me more of a good sense of where the CNGN has capabilities that the eNaira does not. For example, the ability to operate on multiple blockchains, for example, and therefore to power different use cases across the private sector or in DeFi and things like that. But we're going to have to wrap it up for the day. It would be lovely to keep in touch and to hear more about what you're doing in the future, and we hope to bring you back to the DPF at some point. Thank you so much for joining us and for this fascinating conversation.
Thank you, Jenna. I appreciate it.